now turn to God's Word, and we're going to read in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4, from verse 38, and reading through into chapter 5. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all those who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. May God bless that reading of his own word to us. I want us to think particularly about some words that we have in verse 4 of chapter 5, where Jesus said to Peter, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch," especially the words "put down" or "launch out into the deep." I don't know if you're a very cautious person or a risk taker. Some of us like a new challenge. It might be a change of career. It might be taking up an extreme sport. It might be trying out a complicated new recipe. But we like a new challenge. Others of us are very cautious by nature. We like things to stay the same. We don't like anything new and unsettling. We're a bit like Bilbo Baggins at the start of The Hobbit. One of the jokes in The Hobbit, written by J.R.R. Tolkien, is that Gandalf chose Bilbo to go off on an adventure with the dwarves. But the Bagginses were very respectable. They never had any adventures or did anything unexpected. And Bilbo said of adventures, "Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Make you late for dinner. I can't think what anybody sees in them." So some of us may be quite contented and even a bit self-satisfied like Bilbo. But others of us perhaps are more up for trying something new and daring. But whoever you are and whatever your personality is, Jesus calls you to an adventure, to launch out in faith into the unknown. It's a bit scary. In fact, much more scary and life-changing than Bilbo's adventure. But the rewards are infinitely greater. greater than any other challenge or adventure that you could have in life. I want us to see this challenge and adventure through the eyes of Simon Peter in this account, in this encounter with Jesus. Jesus challenges him to launch out. Now, the first thing we have to notice about Peter is that this was not the first time, of course, that he met Jesus. The first time is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. The brothers, Andrew and Simon, were obviously interested in the preaching of John the Baptist. They went to hear him. Now, John the Baptist was a very plain man, but also a very forceful man. And his preaching was very blunt and to the point. And perhaps that appealed to these fishermen. They were obviously searching spiritually. That's why they were there hearing this new prophet that God had sent. And Andrew one day heard what John said about Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I always think of John the Baptist as like a sign pointing. And he's pointing at Jesus and he's saying, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, Andrew spent the day with Jesus, and as a result, he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Andrew then introduced his brother Simon to Jesus, and Jesus surprises him by giving him a new name. That is the name Peter. His name originally was Simon. And Peter means the rock or a rock. Now, what impact would that have had on Simon? Who was this who seemed to know him and know what he would become? It seemed a very unexpected thing for someone to do, to suddenly, just when you met him for the first time, gives you a new name. I wonder, have you had that experience of sitting in church and the Word of God suddenly reveals something about you that perhaps nobody else would know? And it tells you that God knows you. I had an example recently of that. I was preaching in a church, and a young man was there with his family. He wasn't usually in church. And he turned to his dad after the service and said, did you tell that preacher that I was going to be here? Because something I said really hit home to his heart. And that's the kind of experience, because the Lord Jesus knows us and knows us as individuals, and his word will communicate to us. That was the first time that Simon Peter met Jesus. The second time, described here earlier in chapter 4 here, we also read that account this morning in the Gospel of Mark. And here we learn that Simon is married. We're talking here, you know, often we think about these great apostles and so on, and we think of them as extraordinary people, but they were really quite ordinary people. Simon was married, he had a brother, Andrew, he had a mother-in-law, as it's described here, his wife's mother. And his mother-in-law was ill, and she was healed by Jesus. Now, again, we see that here, Peter is getting to know Jesus a little bit better. Here he comes to see that Jesus is someone who can transform a person's life, can heal someone. And I wonder, you know, do we know people who have been helped by Jesus, that had their lives transformed in some way? Maybe even members of our own family. All these things that we see here with Peter means that Peter was becoming acquainted with Jesus. And there's a challenge for us this evening. Are you just acquainted with Jesus, or do you really know him? Peter was amazed by him. Maybe we're sometimes amazed by what God's word says to us, by God's knowledge of us and his power to help, perhaps help other people. But has it become personal? Well, it was about to become very personal for Simon Peter. Because we see next that he was confronted by Jesus. Now, Peter, as we know, was a fisherman. Sometimes people attempt to make out that Peter and James and John and the others were just businessmen. They were managing a fishing business, because in Mark chapter 1 verse 20 it said that they had hired men. But of course, Peter wasn't sitting in some office somewhere investing capital and making a profit. Not that there's anything wrong with that if it's done honestly. He was there getting his hands dirty, or actually in this case wet, because he was washing the nets. And in John's Gospel, at the end of John's Gospel, it tells of an incident where Peter dragged a net with 153 large fish in it. So that tells us that Peter was a big, strong fisherman. No wonder he sometimes became known as the big fisherman. This was the kind of man we're talking about here. Well, he was a fisherman, but Jesus gets involved in Peter's working life. First of all, he asked him for the use of his boat. It would make a perfect pulpit just on the edge of the sea, where he could speak to people on the beach there, and his voice would carry over the water. Isn't it interesting how Jesus so often borrowed things from people for a reason? You know, he borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He borrowed an upper room to have the Last Supper in. But here he's borrowing a boat for a particular purpose, to involve himself in the life of Peter. Peter had something that could be used in his service, and he asked for it. And I think quite often, we as Christians or in churches, we're reluctant to involve people in things if they're not already committed. Now here, already, Peter was not really committed to Jesus, but Jesus was asking him to do something for him. And so often, we as Christians think we're going to do something for other people. But it's good for us to ask them to do something for us. And in that way, we become involved in their lives, and they see that we care for them. You may have talents and gifts that Jesus is interested in. There are things that you can do for Jesus. You have something to offer. He's interested in your work. He's interested in your life. It doesn't matter whether your work is with your head or with your hands, Jesus is interested in the whole of life. So he was confronted by Jesus in this little way in which Jesus asked to borrow his boat. But thirdly, he is challenged by Jesus. Jesus asks him to do something that no doubt seemed very foolish to Peter. He asked him to go out and fish in bright daylight and in deep water. Now those two things, Peter, who knows a fisherman, was not the way that you fished in the Sea of Galilee. You went out at night and you fished in the shallow water, and there's where the fish were, and there's where you caught them. But he'd been out all night and caught nothing, so he was really skeptical about going out into the deep water in daylight and trying to catch fish. Jesus, you see, asks us to do things that may appear foolish. He asks us to use a book written thousands of years ago as a daily guide for our lives, the Bible. He asks us to meet up every week with people that perhaps ordinarily we wouldn't give a second thought to if it wasn't for the fact that we were Christians together in church. Jesus contradicts the wisdom of the world. Perhaps our professional instincts or our education may be telling us that what the Bible says is wrong or foolish. Or to talk to someone that you can't see, whom the scientists have tried to disprove, and whom TV and films and literature try to debunk. That's the way in which so often we can be cynical and question what God is actually saying to us. But anyway, Peter was impressed enough with Jesus to do what he asked. He said, just because you're asking, I'll do it. Now, it's interesting that here he calls Jesus master or teacher. It was a term of respect for someone with religious authority. It's a wee bit like sometimes people may call me a minister reverend. We had a workman who used to work on the manse, and he would always be very respectful and he would call me reverend. So it was a bit like this here with Peter. He was showing respect for Jesus. Perhaps nothing more than that at that stage. But there was a little bit more here, because he said, because you say so. He was so impressed with what Jesus had done in the lives of others, like his mother-in-law, that he was prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt. And maybe that's happened to us in our experience, in our journey to faith. Or perhaps you're at that very stage at the moment. And this is the humility of Jesus, that he was prepared to accept such a response. You know, Peter was a little bit questioning, a little bit doubtful about it, but Jesus was prepared to accept it. So the great question is, are we prepared to launch out, as here Jesus was asking Peter to do, to ask him to launch out into the deep? Are we prepared to take Jesus at his word and to set out on this great adventure of following Jesus and doing what he wants us to do in life? The fourth thing we see with Peter is that he was overwhelmed by Jesus. Jesus provided a huge catch of fish for them. Totally unexpected, totally contrary to all the laws of fishing that Peter knew, Jesus provided this huge catch of fish. So great, the nets were breaking, the boat were nearly sinking, and here Peter was being generously paid for the loan of his boat. After all, God is no man's debtor. But there's something very surprising about this, isn't there? Jesus knew where the fish were. The fish weren't in the shallows. They were out in the deep. Jesus wasn't a fisherman. He was a carpenter by trade. But he knew where the fish were. Now there's a mystery here, because this was no ordinary human knowledge. Nor was it even the human knowledge of Jesus' human nature, because that was not omniscient. It was divine knowledge. He knew exactly where these fish were because in some way he caused the fish to be there. That's what we're seeing in this incident. When you get involved with Jesus, you discover that he's not some ancient religious teacher long dead and gone. But not only is he vitally present, you discover he has powers and knowledge that no mere man could have. He is the eternal Son of God. And when his word speaks to you, you realize he knows things about you that nobody else does. Well, what was Peter's response? It seems a very strange one. Fell down on his knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." You'd expect him to be leaping around and joyful and excited at this great catch of fish and just astonished and amazed that Jesus knew where the fish were when he, a fisherman, didn't know. What's happening here is that Peter was overwhelmed by grace. He had a sense of his own unworthiness because he had doubted Jesus. He'd been skeptical about launching out into the deep. And beside such overwhelming generosity that Jesus had shown to him, he felt so shabby and so sinful. Do you know that feeling of sheer unworthiness in face of the great love of God in Jesus Christ? Unearned and undeserved. When you consider Christ's great self-giving, his death on the cross, something that we could never deserve, never merit, his great atoning work for us. Do we feel that same sense of unworthiness? Like Peter, You perhaps feel Jesus should have nothing to do with you. Well, if that's the case, good, because that's the way we should feel. But it shouldn't drive us to despair, because Jesus takes this as a sign of Peter's true grasp of his own sinfulness, because this was a prayer that Jesus never granted. Peter said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Jesus, you should have nothing to do with me." But Jesus didn't grant that prayer. He never left him. And you know, sometimes we may be feel very downcast or discouraged or even despairing, and we may think that Jesus doesn't want anything to do with us. But if we're trusting in him, even if our faith is as little as a grain of mustard seed, he will never leave us or forsake us. The fifth and final thing we see about Peter's interaction with Jesus here is he was called by Jesus. There was a purpose that Jesus had in all this, right from the start when he asked to borrow Peter's boat. Jesus had a great work for Peter and his friends James and John to do. Now, Peter's work as a fisherman was important. Jesus affirmed the dignity of such work. He himself worked with his hands as a joiner and so on. But there was an even higher work, the work of becoming a fisher of men. Literally what he says here, when he says to Peter to follow him, and he will catch men alive. It's the idea of, instead of catching something to destroy it, you're catching it alive. So, Jesus is saying to Peter here that all his experience and skill as a fisherman was not going to be lost. It was going to be put to a new use. His patience, his courage, his depending on God, his observing the world of nature and of men, his working with his fellow fishermen. Because fishing was a team effort. It's not the idea of an angler just casting a rod into the water. It's people working together with a net to catch fish. And that's why this is such a good illustration of how we are to work together in the outreach of the church. We need fishers of men today more than ever. People winners. We need people in the church who are geared up to winning others for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus. This is part of the great adventure that Jesus is calling you to. And we've got to ask ourselves, are we ready to launch out? Are we ready to launch out into the deep, into the unknown for Jesus? Well, what was Peter's response? Peter left everything to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus, in a sense, had eased their way by this huge catch of fish that would obviously have provided for their families for some time, but still, it was a huge commitment. But they would never be losers. Yes, there would be hard days. There would be the bitter days, like when Peter wept bitterly after denying Jesus. But they would never be losers. It was the beginning of a great adventure that would lead Peter to Jerusalem, to Antioch, to Rome, and eventually to heaven. And in doing that, on that journey, he would lead many people to faith. He was the one who preached on the day of Pentecost. He was the one who preached after that in Jerusalem and in many other places. And thousands of people were converted. All because one day Jesus asked to borrow his boat. So today, this evening, we have met Jesus and been challenged by him to launch out. We've seen Jesus through the eyes of Simon Peter, the working man, the big fisherman. Have you seen Jesus with your own eyes of faith? Not physically, but spiritually. And do you realize something of who Jesus is and what he's done for you? You can never be the same again, just like Peter was never the same again. Because Jesus challenges us to follow him. He calls you to trust him and to commit your life to him. He calls you to launch out into the deep. So come, follow Jesus, and continue to follow him if you're already following him. Set out on this greatest of all adventures. And let's become fishers of men, drawing people to share this great adventure of loving Jesus and following him. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we recognize that in ourselves we do not have the strength or wisdom or ability to do any of these things. But we recognize that along with your calling of us to follow you, you give us all that is necessary. You give us the grace, you give us the strength, you give us the wisdom. Enable us to rely upon you. And we pray that as a church here, you would encourage your people here to be seeking ways of reaching out with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. That we may launch out into the deep. The deep that seems so scary and so unknown, but it's where the fish are. It's where the people are who need to know you. And Lord, our gracious God, we pray that you would continue to bless this congregation and enable it to continue to be a place of witness to yourself and a shining light in this community, that many may be blessed by the ministry of your people here. And so we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.